Now, welcome to Nothing Impossible, sponsored by Accelerate St. Louis, the epicenter of innovation for the St. Louis region. Now, here are your hosts, Michael Calhoun and Travis Sheridan on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Welcome into our weekly conversation about local innovation in the St. Louis region. Michael here.
And Travis.
And why was the director of the National Science Foundation in St. Louis this week?
Because the Cardinals weren't in town. Were they? No, it's not for that. It's not baseball. Ladies and gentlemen. It's not baseball. It's innovation.
Yeah, here to learn about the St. Louis startup culture. And coming up on the program, we're going to talk with a couple of people who will clue us into what the Exploring Innovation Frontiers Initiative is all about. They're going to four cities, California, Houston, Texas. Well, how did St. Louis get on the list? We'll talk about that coming up.
And we're also going to talk to one of our favorite, and I guess if we're biased, one of our favorite startups in town, Greetable, who just raised a little bit of money,
$1.5 million.
$1.5 million. They have this greeting card that can be folded miraculously into a box and shipped out to your friends with a great gift inside. And so Father's Day is coming up. Maybe people want to get it for dads. And we're going to talk to Joe, who is the CEO of Greetable, and learn a little bit more about what they're doing.
Yeah, what is the gifting gap? That's their market that they're going for right there. And we'll get the scoop from Joe. And also, big groundbreaking this week, the first new Metrolink station in St. Louis in more than a decade. It's going into, of course, the Cortex Innovation District. So we'll find out what the appeal is. We'll find out also in terms of safety. It's been in the news. What is Metrolink doing about that? So lots to talk about innovation-wise in St. Louis, and we'll get to it all coming right up.
So stick around. We're going to start with people from D.C. hanging out in St. Louis.
That's up next on KMOX.
Last night while you were sleeping, the world continued to turn. Start your new day the right way with Total Information AM and get the world all over again. Wake up to world, national, and local news. Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes. The world of sports, plus business news, and so much more. Total Information AM, St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. Now, back to Nothing Impossible, sponsored by Accelerate St. Louis, the epicenter of innovation for the St. Louis region, on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
All right, welcome back in to Nothing Impossible. In studio with you, Michael Calhoun.
And Travis Sheridan.
And also with us, we're going to talk about the Council on Competitiveness and a big event that's coming to St. Louis, Exploring the Innovation Frontiers Initiative. And we're joined by Dedrick Carter, no stranger to Nothing Impossible, Vice Chancellor at Washington University. Thank you for coming in.
Good to be here.
And Chad Evans, who's Executive Vice President at the Council on Competitiveness. Chad, thank you for coming in and coming to St. Louis.
Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about what this event is about and what the discussion is about, what you're looking for.
Well, Michael, we're really in St. Louis for a specific purpose. We want to learn from what is happening here that is driving long-term growth, innovation capacity, and entrepreneurship, not only for this region, but we want to be able to take back to Washington and share around the country some of the interesting stories, the new companies that are emerging, the collaborations between Washington University, the greater ecosystem that's really bubbling up here. Our sense, and we felt this as we really launched this initiative over the past year, is that St. Louis is one of the three or four places in this country we had to visit. So we're really happy to be here today and tomorrow.
What were those things that really stood out to you that tipped the scale of saying we have to do it here?
Couple of things. One, our knowledge of the deep public and private partnerships that were emerging in this city, not only in the city, but in the region and the state. St. Louis has always been sort of a gateway for growth and productivity enhancement in this country. There's a deep history. Just driving here to the studio this morning, we saw that. And as I was talking to Dedrick on the way in, that was really what was in the back of our minds a year ago when we launched this effort. But we knew something new was emerging, and that was coming clear in Washington, D.C. We heard from not only policymakers in D.C., you need to go out into the Midwest. The story is not just about Silicon Valley and Route 128. For this country to thrive and survive in the 21st century, ecosystems and that are emerging in places like St. Louis will be absolutely critical for jobs and for growth in this country.
And so, Dedrick, what have you, since he's gotten here to St. Louis, what are the things that are on your list? Like, all right, I've got to show him this. We've got to go stop by this place. He's got to meet these people. Who's on the list? What's What do you want to brag about in terms of St. Louis?
So that's a super top secret list there, Michael. But, no, I mean, the fun thing about being an ambassador for St. Louis and the innovation capacity that we're building here is that you don't look in old places for new things, right? So we've got a bubbling ecosystem happening here. They're going to be here for 2 days. We're going to get a chance to expose them to a lot of the thought leaders around in the space and many of our university partners. We're going to show them some of the locations where we're aggregating and sort of concentrating innovation activities. And then we're going to talk about what platforms we're putting in place to sort of make, see, and do more. I got it taken by the City Museum as well. I mean, you can't not do that, not slide on a big slide or something.
Absolutely.
Like that.
You know, when we think about old economic development models, this used to be a zero-sum game, right? This idea of collaborating and sharing best practices, of making the entire nation more competitive on a larger scale. Chad, talk a little bit about how this sort of council is shifting that paradigm and getting more into the sharing sort of knowledge economy that we have.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Travis, it's interesting you mentioned that. You know, we're called the Council on Competitiveness. In some ways, people think our name implies that zero-sum game that you just talked about. But in fact, you know, for us to compete, you have to collaborate. And our 200 members, and our members are CEOs, university presidents, chief technology officers, labor leaders, national lab directors. And for 31 years, their mantra really has been, we have to find ways to come together to drive that fundamental productivity growth. And so this activity in St. Louis is part of a dialogue series. We've been in Atlanta. We've been in Riverside, California. We've been in Houston. Now we're in St. Louis. And what we're looking at are a whole range of public-private partnerships that are increasingly important. And why? Because what we do know, and Dedrick, I'm sure, can speak to this better than I can, the future of innovation is not only increasingly linked to that public-private partnership, but it's multidisciplinary, it's interdisciplinary. The interesting things are happening at the membranes when they touch and come together and cross, and that's what I'm hoping to find here in St. Louis. I know our conversation tomorrow, we're going to have incredible speakers on biotech and healthcare, but we're also going to have really consumer-facing industries with us. We're bringing actually Washington to St. Louis. We have the director of the National Science Foundation. She's coming to be with us to also learn. Hmm. And so that's what's really exciting, because I think what will happen tomorrow and the next day or two here will really, I'm hoping, drive change in Washington, D.C.
And this is actually an important thing to take note of. If you hear what Chad just said, this is not the first time that St. Louis has played on the major scene for innovation. I mean, years ago, we had another NSF director come here quietly. And we, out of that, emerged something that became the NSF Innovation Corps, right? And now we get a great NSF director coming in to say, so what's next? I mean, what's on the scene? We're pulling together a really small group in a roundtable dialogue, and we're going to roll up our sleeves and really give our best thought to where we should be going.
Now, when you talk about these other cities, you said four or five other cities that you've taken a look at?
St. Louis is our fourth visit.
It's the fourth. And so where does St. Louis compare, whether it's lifestyle or the state of the ecosystem or our progress in building this? Where does St. Louis compare to these other cities? And is St. Louis a good example of building this kind of from scratch or no?
I think St. Louis plays a special part in this dialogue series. We launched in Atlanta. And we had conversations in Riverside, California that were about talent and diversity and inclusivity and how we need to have a greater engagement of the U.S. population involved in innovation. Our conversation in Houston was really around some technology disruptors. Mm-hmm. But what's special about the conversation today and tomorrow in St. Louis is that it's bringing all of that together. St. Louis, in some sense, encapsulates all of those themes. So what we're hoping is St. Louis will be a platform for a broader national conversation that will emerge coming out of tomorrow's conversation.
Yeah, the code word for this conversation is really game changers.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the things, what are the accelerators, what are the sort of the catalysts that really are driving innovation in the emerging markets? Right?
I think one of the reasons we even launched this initiative is that the pace of innovation changes so quickly that the initiative in some sense is almost like we're trying to sense out what's next. And so in that sense, I think, as Dedrick has just mentioned, St. Louis is pretty critical for us because there's something emerging here, and we want to learn from that.
Well, you know, I remember when I was in banking, the favorite phrase was past performance is not indicative of future results, right? That's how you hedge everything and protect against the market going south. But when you look at building ecosystems, past performance could be indicative of future results, and so there could be some things that can be replicated in other markets that might be more predictive in nature as opposed to just being reactive. Yeah. And I'd see a roundtable like this this is helping identify those one or two elements that, if done right, should lead to this result.
I think your institutions matter.
Yeah.
So the fact that we're working on this conversation with Washington University should say something to the community, because it's an institution that really is at the heart of this innovation ecosystem. So, Dedrick, I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I'm taking off my jacket to show you these cool cufflinks that I'm wearing, which I picked up for about a dollar at an antique shop in a little town, Cremora, Virginia. And I say this because innovation is not new to St. Louis. I mean, you've heard me say this before. I mean, if you go back to the World's Fair and you think about the things that have happened over the last 100 years here, it's part and parcel to what this city has been about. And so in some ways what we're doing is saying, let's look at those models that have been part of our DNA, dust them off a bit, and say, how do we breathe new life into that innovation here? And how do we let that, blessed by great geography, be something that can spill over into other similar regions around the world, or specifically in the country, but around the world. Right?
Those are great cufflinks, by the way.
They're great. Yeah. Yeah. $1.
There you go.
Wow. So how would you describe, for those who are thinking, what is innovation, this word, I'm hearing all about it, I'm hearing about startups and that sort of thing. Yeah. What does this mean for my everyday life? Does it mean some new device, some new app? Does it mean a better lifestyle, cleaner air, better ways to get around, better transportation, more opportunities that I wouldn't have necessarily had before? My job is going to be different. What does innovation mean?
My job might be gone.
All of the above.
Okay.
Right?
Or there may be a job that I never would have had access to before.
Correct.
That I might have.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If you look at areas like, you know, the Cortex Innovation District here in St. Louis, if you look at areas in which you have great concentrations of startups, the spillover effects of those areas to adjacent neighborhoods is significant. And you start to see the overall quality of life go up, the wages go up, the jobs available go up. Unfortunately, the cost of living around there goes up a little bit as well. But all that's part and parcel to a shift, a change. And that is what innovation is about. It's about that shift and change and making sure that we can create and impact a better human condition.
Yeah, it's about that value creation. And you can define value in a lot of ways. I think of innovation, It's a spectrum. It's everything from imagination to insight to ingenuity to an invention. But ultimately, it has to have some sort of impact.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that, it's not innovation.
Yeah. We keep asking people we keep trying to generate and create, uncover why question askers in our colleges and universities, in our high schools, and in our communities. And these people who are asking questions, why is it the way it is and why is it not in some other way? That curiosity is what we're really sort of stoking here. Figuring out how do we find ways to scale that?
I have this this belief that when you answer questions, you have a tendency to uncover or show your position on things. But if you ask questions instead of answering them, if you ask more questions, it illuminates your perspective, right? And Dedrick, to your point, we need more question answers, askers, right? Mm-hmm. And I would imagine, Chad, in this this roundtable that you're getting together, while you are seeking some answers, you're probably just seeking better questions, too.
I hope we have better questions. I mean, one of the things that I hope to get out of tomorrow, I don't know if we'll get all the answers, but we're going to be asking these tremendous leaders that Dedrick has helped really pull together, what are the new business models that will be driving future growth in this country? What are you seeing happening here in St. Louis? What are the new ways in which universities and institutions like Washington University, how are they reaching out to the community, to industry, and to others to really, in fact, find these game changers that Dedrick mentioned? I don't know the answer to those questions, and even though we've been in three other cities, we don't have all the answers, but I have a very strong feeling that tomorrow's conversation will add value to that, and so I'm looking forward to learning more.
I'm just going to give a little shout out to how good St. Louis is, because we're here talking about St. Louis, and I'm going to use Boston as a comparison, and I spend a lot of time in Boston. I was at a roundtable discussion in Boston on autonomous vehicles, something that I would love to do. It's a very nerdy thing to do when you go to a new city. You learn about autonomous vehicles. And the call to action at the end was to create policy recommendations for the city as it relates to autonomous vehicles in these different scenarios. And at the end, I raised my hand and asked, because I was the only African-American in the room, I said, is it common in Boston to have policy-level decision discussions without a full representation of the community? And they sheepishly looked around and they said, you know what, that is one of our biggest problems, is we don't get enough people around the room. And we're talking about transportation, which when you think about the impacted workforce, the future of transportation is definitely there. And what I appreciate about St. Louis, since we're a St. Louis-based show, is that we maybe it's post Ferguson, maybe it's been all around, but all along. But I've seen it a lot post Ferguson. We want to make sure that there are more people that should be at the table around the table. Yeah. And Chad, as you're going out there, how important are those inclusive voices in driving innovation and the innovation agenda?
It's everything. Mm-hmm. We don't have that, we won't have an innovation economy in this country. That, I think, if I can say we've had one major learning, although I don't know that it's, you know, it should be super obvious to everyone. And sometimes it's, as your experience in Boston, it's not so obvious. And so it was a very important decision for us to come to St. Louis for exactly the reasons you just described. It was very clear on our radar screen and that of the leadership at my council that there was something to be learned here. You know, I mentioned we were in Riverside, California. It's another interesting community that's done a lot to really understand its changing demographics and has some really interesting best practices. But that's just one slice of the American pie. Mm-hmm. And I think being here is another contribution to a national dialogue. And I think that's why you see someone like the director of the National Science Foundation making the effort to be here, because it matters. Mm-hmm. And I think she's looking for, to Dedrick's point, new insights that really will make an impact on how we invest in the future in this country.
And these are really important proof points because, you know, change is tough, right? And changing in places that are somewhat set in their ways is even tougher. So getting people around the table and increasing their willingness to change or embrace new models because you have seen it proven out, mm-hmm. at least in a small scale somewhere, is important. So the fact that the council is going around to say, show me your proof points. Give me your ideas and give me the evidence behind which you're building those ideas on. So we're not just going to talk about blue sky, you know, what if.
Right.
This is going to say, the reason I say this is because when we started Arch Grants, when we, you know, let's pull out example after example, this is what we saw. And we believe that if you put more energy, more enthusiasm, more scale behind this, this is what the outcome will be.
Right. Dedrick Carter from Washington University, Vice Chancellor, and Chad Evans, who's Executive Vice President at the Council on Competitiveness. Compete.org for more information.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you both so much for coming in.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more Nothing Impossible after this.